If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steven Ranella, Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Max Barda, Phil Lavretsky, Brady Davis, and Matt McCormick. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Phil, Brady, Matt, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia. How do you feel about your chances?
Pretty high.
Stuck you all on this side of the table.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yeah, I was just planning where to donate the money to.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
This is an unusual amount of confidence from our guests.
Yeah, we might get smoked, but you have to come in hot, man.
Okay. Now, I heard some whispers before the show that you hope it's not a duck question for your bone. I'm sorry to say, but your bone is a duck question today.
Great.
I didn't know that.
It's reverse psychology.
We preferred goose over here. So a duck question you guys.
They all get the same bone, right?
They all get the same bone. That's right. Oh. I think that's fair, right?
I think three would be
three bones.
Bone for each of you.
Yeah.
Now for the Saddle of the Week this week, we're looking at a battle of the Meat Eater mustaches. Here's how Cal, Seth, Mark, and Clay stack up against each other in our four verticals. In the hunting category, the best performing mustache is Cal, who gets 52% of questions right. The worst performing mustache is Clay, who gets 45% of questions right. In the fishing category, the best performing mustache is Cal again, who gets 55% of questions right. The worst performing mustache is Clay again, who gets 38% of questions right. In the conservation category, the best performing mustache is Cal again.
How do you think he'd win now?
Who gets 55% of questions right. The worst performing mustache is Seth, who gets 49% of questions right. And in the cooking category, the best performing mustache is Cal again, who gets 61% of questions right. The worst performing mustache is Mark, who gets 20% of questions right. That gives Cal a clean sweep across the board, making him the king mustache.
You should just have a mustache episode and let him duke it out.
You know, we have a high, the amount of mustaches per capita in this office, it's up there.
I'll grow this bad boy out.
Okay. Right.
Obviously, yeah, I've been growing mine out for the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yanni, could you get a mustache for us too?
No, sir.
Have you ever had a mustache in your life?
kind of during COVID there. Oh. I'll let everybody else answer that. You know, I just let it go there for however many months it was. Steve didn't like it because he said I looked like a convict buddy of his. Isn't that right?
You had a convict buddy who had a mustache.
Of convict buddies, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so it was one specific convict buddy, or he just looked like he
had to grow
buddy.
Back out so I could tell. I can't even remember this.
Sure. There we go, Yanni. And then you could join the mustache episode. This is our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 381. The topic was hunting, and nobody got it right. This lager, which calls itself the official beer of the American sportsman, usually comes in red cans that feature wildlife on them. Who knows the answer? Nobody.
Budweiser.
It's not Budweiser.
How about this, Tim? Or a guess? Do you have any guess?
Gosh, I'm racking.
It's not Old Mud.
Red can.
Not Old Mud. Official beer of the American sportsman.
Milwaukee Beast.
Old style.
Wrong again. No. Wrong again. I'll tell you the incorrect answers given were Old Milwaukee, Hams, Rainier, and Budweiser, which I think Steve said all of those except all four. The correct answer, if we give up, was Schmidt.
Oh, Schmidt.
Minnesota beer.
When did we even got Schmitty's. That?
Can I tell you a quick funny story about Old Milwaukee?
Well, okay, I'm going to hold on.
Old Mud?
Last time
you guys called
you
Old
told
Mud?
Us,
oh, yeah.
When we had this question, you said, can I tell you a quick funny story about Old Mud? And then you told the story about a poem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to tell you that story again. And they go, okay. I already told that story?
You told this story. Do you want to tell it again?
No, I run out of stories, dude.
Schmidt. Schmidt was the correct answer. Nobody got it the second time around. We have some housekeeping to get to in a previous game of trivia. When talking about grocery stores, I pronounced the Texas grocery chain as Heeb, which was apparently wrong. About 20 Texans wrote in to let me know that the local way to say it is by just saying each letter individually, making that H-E-B instead of Heeb. Now, these proud Texans also wanted to let me know that HEB is a proud supporter of conservation. They've contributed more than $13 million to conservation projects that have done things like coastal cleanups and black bear restoration. Most recently, HEB made a $1 million donation to the Texas State Parks through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. The company said that since only a fraction of the state is public land, they want to make sure those resources are protected for generations to come.
Right on, Heeb.
Yeah. Shop,
my new favorite.
There we go, Yanni.
Heeb.
That's right. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Now, for maybe the first time ever, we have an audience outside of the room. Who can tell me who's watching out here?
Well, can't she come in?
Sure. I mean, does she want to? Who is it, first of all?
No. Dr. Phil's
my wife. Yeah.
Okay, and when Steve asked if they can come in, he shook his head no.
Yeah, one of my kids, the younger one, Evelyn, is a jibber jabber, so we'd hear her. She'd probably be answering all the questions.
Okay.
Out loud.
Question one. The topic is cooking, and as always, this is multiple choice. Which of these peppers is hottest? Is it banana, chipotle, habanero, or jalapeno? Which of these peppers is hottest? The room is very,
so just put A,
very
B, C,
confident.
D?
Write down the answer you think it is.
Down,
no A, B, C, D. Which of these peppers is hottest? Banana, chipotle, habanero, or jalapeno? The room is very confident. Steve, you just know this one.
I think so.
Do you have some peppers in the garden this year?
Mm-hmm.
Any of these four?
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody have an answer?
Weren't hot, though.
Okay.
Which I like.
Okay. Everybody ready? Go ahead
you
and reveal your answers.
Oh,
we have Phil saying
H.
Jalapeno. Brady saying habanero.
No, it's habanero, but I put a J.
Okay. Everyone says habanero.
Yeah, what the hell did you do that for?
Let's see.
We'll give it
Let's
to
see.
You.
Everyone
we'll
says
it.
No, habanero.
It literally looks like jalapeno.
Show it around because you're playing with fire there, buddy.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
I did it correct. That's how you spell it in El Paso?
Oh, we'll take your word for it. The correct answer is habanero. Every single player got it. Banana peppers are a 300 on the Scoville heat unit chart. Jalapenos and chipotles are a 5,000, and habaneros are a 200,000. Habaneros are one of the hottest common peppers that you can find at almost any grocery store.
I planted one jalapeno this year. He must have thrown 30 jalapenos.
They were good?
Perfect heat, too.
Okay.
Like, you just eat them. Throw them on a grill. Then have to be all paranoid about the seeds or anything, you know?
Question two. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Andrew Didio. What state is home to the Catskill Mountains? Less confident this time around. About half of our players think they have the correct answer. Again, the topic is public lands. What state is home to the Catskill Mountains? Steve, you have this one right.
Yeah.
Have you been there, or is that too much information if you tell us?
I'm not in a chit-chatting mood, Spencer.
Okay. Brody also thinks he has it. And Yanni. Max, have you come up with an answer yet? Max is not as confident.
Not the big chit-chatter.
What state is home to the Catskill Mountains? I think we're waiting on Brady and Max.
Might be waiting for a long time here. I'll pick one of 50.
One of 50.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa.
Why?
You never know. Okay, Max, we are now waiting on you.
I literally have
I put
no
down
idea.
Hawaii.
You need to tell us where the Catskill Mountains are.
And I've been there.
Is everybody ready? Max?
No, we're good.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying Washington. Brady saying Tennessee. Matt saying Arizona. Brody saying New York. Max saying Rhode Island. Giannis saying New York. Steve saying New York. The correct answer is New York. A few folks got it.
That's a funny way to spell Hawaii.
I was tricking you.
The Catskills are found in southeastern New York and are part of the Appalachian Plateau. The area is known for fishing, hunting, hiking, camping, and skiing. It's also famous for its impact on the American comedy scene. Rodney Dangerfield, Jackie Mason, Don Rickles, and more all got their start by performing at resorts in the Catskills.
Southeastern New York. I thought it was up north.
Maybe that's a future correction. Question three. The topic is biology. Drake wood ducks, Drake canvasback, and Drake cinnamon teal all have this eye color. The room is very confident, maybe except for Yanni. Our duck hunters and duck biologists think they have it right.
This is not the first duck eye color question that we've had on this show, is it?
Drake wood ducks, Drake canvasback, and Drake cinnamon teal all have this eye color.
You're talking about the main eye color, right?
What would be the alternative to this question?
Just
why
go.
Why can't you respond to my comment?
Just go with your gut here. Max.
He's like, ah, I'm good.
Gotcha. I meant if you peel his eyelid away, his secondary lens.
Uh huh.
Maybe I was just trying to confuse
Spencer,
people.
Why can't you...
We've had a question related to eye color in birds before. That's right. Does everybody have an answer? Room looks confident. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Phil saying red. Brady saying red. Matt saying red. Brody saying yellow. Crossed out red. Max says red. Giannis says yellow. Steve says yellow.
Well, that's how I'll I spell red.
The correct
answer.
That's how
Zach actually spelled El Paso.
That's right. Correct answer. That's how is red are duck hunters and duck biologists. Got it.
Yeah. They all got their bone.
They all got it.
That was a great bone, too. That was a layup.
Yeah, that's a good bone.
It's believed that the purpose of the red eyes is to aid their vision in dark conditions. The red eye color is more common in birds that dive underwater. Some other birds with red eyes are common loons, western grebes, and black-crowned herons.
Now, if you'd have said a loon, I'd have got it right.
You'd have known that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that...
Common loon have thrown you off?
No, I would have gotten it. Okay. I could just picture his red little eye. But I kept thinking of a wood duck. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Yellow?
You could tell me any color in a wood duck. I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. Oh. Yeah. Was that... do you know most of the eye colors for ducks are duck hunters and duck biologists? You think you do?
I don't shoot them until I see the eyes.
It's good.
Wait till you see the yellow, the reds of his eyes.
That's good. Question four. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Matt H. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then watch this episode on Meat Eater's YouTube channel or check out my latest post on Instagram. The room is looking at three pictures of whitetails. They need to tell me what cartoon character inspired the name for the disease that these deer have.
Oh my gosh, I know it.
There are three pictures of three different whitetails that the room is looking at. They need to tell me what cartoon character inspired the name for the disease that these deer have. Steve with the quickest answer.
No, I don't have the right answer.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Just a guess.
I had a perfect game going for three.
This is question four. Tell me what cartoon character inspired the name for the disease that these deer have. You can see these photos on Instagram at Spencer Newharth or on Meat Eater's YouTube channel. So your answer...
So many cartoon characters with big noses.
Should be a cartoon character. I think we're waiting on Brody.
Write down the right answer and then cross it out.
Yanni, how do you feel about your answer?
Just a guess.
I don't know.
Is everybody ready?
Does anyone know?
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Ah.
Dr. Phil saying Rudolph. Brady saying Bullwinkle. Matt saying Bullwinkle. Brody saying Dumbo. Max saying Rudolph. Giannis saying Bullwinkle. Steve saying Bullwinkle.
It's Bullwinkle.
We have a correct answer in the room. It's Bullwinkle.
Yes.
You folks got it right.
Now, are you accepting what he wrote? Because he didn't write that.
What did he write?
Brady wrote, Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle?
I'm Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle?
That's how I've heard it pronounced.
He's a bull.
I'm not the only one.
I wasn't a diehard cartoon kid, but I mean, I got that right.
My dad would let him watch cartoons.
Bullwinkle disease is named after the deer's moose-like snout that resembles Bullwinkle J. Moose. That's why we need to accept his answer, Steve, because his full name is Bullwinkle J. Moose, which nobody came
up
with.
Ooh, great point. That was my retort.
This is one of the most mysterious diseases in all of nature. According to the National Deer Association, there were no reported cases of Bullwinkle deer until 2005. Hmm. One study looked at 10 deer with the affliction and found no known cause for the inflamed nose. Biologists believe it's not fatal for deer, and their best guess is that it's caused by a rare bacteria. Our listener who wrote in with this question actually got a Bullwinkle deer on his trail camera. Play the video, Phil. And our listener is trying to kill this deer. As I was emailing with him, he was on stand, hoping this buck would walk by. First reported case, 2005.
I don't know if I'd find that buck appetizing.
I've seen it.
I'd have questions.
Folks have wrote about maybe you shouldn't eat them just because of the uncertainty of what causes this. Question five, the topic is fishing. The North Dakota Game and Fish describes these bones found in pike as, quote, a major annoyance. Brody and Steve with quick answers. Max and Yanni now joining them are duck hunters. Not as confident. They have yet to put marker to board. Here is the question. The North Dakota Game and Fish describes these bones found in pike as, quote, a major annoyance.
That's bad press for pike, man.
Yeah.
I don't think they should
for a state to be weighing in on that.
We can talk about it more after. This whole side of the table thinks they have it right.
How do you know that?
Because I saw how excited you were coming up with your answers.
I got a lot of pike in my freezer right now.
Yeah.
Phil and Matt, do we have an answer? The question one more time. The North Dakota Game and Fish describes these bones found in pike as, quote, a major annoyance. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying ridge bones. Brady saying feather. Matt saying rib. Brody, Max, Giannis, and Steve all saying Y bones. They got it. The correct answer is Y bones. Now, when they had this quote, they were actually explaining how to remove the Y bones. So they were trying to change the PR around northern pike.
They're not wrong, though. They are annoying.
They are annoying. Y-bones are also found in musky, pickerel, and all species of carp, but it's unknown what their function is. Y-bones can be dissolved through the process of pickling, but you'll have to manually remove them for frying or grilling. My favorite way to do it is the five fillet method, which you can find on YouTube.
Do you like the five fillet method?
What do you do?
I'll tell you what I started doing.
Mm-hmm.
I pickle them, mm-hmm. and here's a hot tip. I'll call it a correction.
Okay.
You take those pike fillets,
uh-huh.
throw them in a food processor.
Oh, I'm just going to make fish cakes, huh?
Then you put them in raw, okay? And let's say you got a couple pounds of pike, you food process.
Mm-hmm.
Put some egg in there, put some other stuff that's good to eat in there, red hot, whatever. Put some breadcrumb in there.
Sure.
Make a patty. Then you take that patty and you roll that patty in panko.
Okay.
And you fry that gently.
But if your heart is set,
deep fry or pan fry?
Pan fry.
The
me and my kid invented that.
Okay, good on you.
What's it called?
It's called sucker cakes.
Beaverino.
Sucker cakes.
It's called sucker cakes with pike.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
That's a pretty good game. You've only got a 2-point spread going. We've got Phil with 2 points. Matt, Max, Brady, and Brody all have 3 points apiece. And in first place, all tied up, I think. I would say our meat eaters, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Steve and Giannis, they've got 4 points apiece.
Can you expand on that, Phil?
Me and Yanni are neck and neck.
You know, I think for the sake of my job, I'm not going to decide who's who. You guys can do that.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength features and build to never let you down, so you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, you know when you take some time to clean out, clean out your garage, and you're like, man, how was I living like that with that place such a mess? Well, check this out. If you've been paying a fortune for wireless and then you switch over to Mint Mobile and get plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you'll be saying, how was I ever affording to do that way I did it before? It's time to switch, okay, to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and get your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater, and you will cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Again, mintmobile.com/meateater. It's a $45 upfront payment required, which is the equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick,
It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at liquidiv.com.
Question 6. The topic is natural history. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Nick Delbrick for sending this great question. Nick is going to get a book signed by Steve. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia at themeateater.com.
Why can't they get a free trivia game?
Because we don't have them in the office yet. Coming soon, though. Hopefully in about a month, when I read that part of the game show, they're going to be getting a board game signed by us instead of a book signed by you. This legislation was passed in 1906 as a response to the theft of artifacts on federal lands. Again, the topic is natural history. This legislation was passed in 1906 as a response to the theft of artifacts on federal lands. Steve is the only one to come up with an answer yet. Brody and Matt are now joining him. This legislation was passed in 1906 as a response to the theft of artifacts on federal land. Steve, how do you feel about your answer?
60-40 okay. In favor.
Yanni, are you right there with him?
Mm-hmm.
This legislation was passed in 1906 as a response to the theft of artifacts on federal lands. Now, I never watched Rocky and Bullwinkle. I assume it was an older cartoon.
It's very funny.
Did you guys watch that?
There's Russians in it.
The bad guys are Russians.
All the bad guys are Russians?
Well, a couple
that's
of
relative.
Uh-huh. Boris, was he the other one?
Yeah. Boris. Natasha.
So that was relevant when you were kids watching cartoons?
It might have been old when I was a kid.
Oh.
100% they were old when we were kids. Yeah.
But there, you didn't really have a sense of that at the time. It was, if you sat down, you know, if you, like, folks weren't home and you were able to watch a little tube, you know, after school, it could just be anything. It'd be that. It'd be like, welcome back, Carter. You didn't have any sense of what was made when.
Green Acres.
Yeah,
was
it's like,
was
you had no idea Gilligan's Island, but you wouldn't know that was not a show. You put on like USA Network or whatever.
You just watch TV.
Yeah, it's like, there's no sense of like what's new, what's old, what's coming, what's going.
Does everybody have an answer for question 6? Go ahead and reveal your answers with Phil saying Native Bill Act, Brady saying no idea, Matt saying Arrowhead Act, Brody saying Antiquities Protection Act, Max without an answer, Giannis saying Antiquities Act, Steve saying Antiquities Act. The correct answer is the Antiquities Act. Should we give it to Brody?
What did he write?
He wrote, he added an extra word, protection.
No.
No.
I think he gets
it
right.
We give it to him.
We're going
to
give it to Brody.
Yeah, because the other day I couldn't believe it when you gave me, I wrote down like Lev.
That was Steve's call.
I gave it to you because no one got it right.
An incomplete answer.
We had some listeners wrote in who had a real problem with that, saying you could have been referring to many different things with that answer.
Leviticus.
The correct answer, though, was Antiquities Act. This monumental act was the first U.S. law to provide legal protection of cultural resources on federal lands. It scared off most thieves, but it was determined that the act was too vague. So in 1979, the Archaeological Resources Protection Act was passed. Before that, some judges ruled that the Antiquities Act was unenforceable because of ambiguous language. Question 7. The topic is cooking. This is the largest spice company in the world, which owns brands like Lawry's and Old Bay. Topic is cooking. This is the largest spice company in the world, which owns brands like Lawry's and Old Bay.
I know it. Son of a...
Matt and Max have an answer. Brody is joining them. Brady, Dr.
No
Phil.
Idea.
Not come up with anything quite yet. This is the largest spice company in the world, which owns brands like Lawry's and Old Bay. Steve, do we have any Lawry's or Old Bay in the cabinet right now?
I mean, we might. If we don't, it's not because I don't like it.
Sure.
You
know? Yeah. I used some Lowry's seasoned salt on some potato wedges.
Preferred pronunciation? Lowry's?
I think it's Lowry's.
Lowry's.
Lowry's. Lowry's. Lowry's.
You know what I'm into lately is the stuff my daughter got all fired up about at the neighbor's house, and I bought some. Okay. It's like,
Slap Your Mama?
No.
Oh, that stuff is great.
I love Slap Your Mama. No.
You got to do better than this, Steve, if he wants to help
I'll
you out.
I'll check back the next time I'm on
the okay. show. Okay. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying Lowry's.
McCormick.
Brady saying Nabisco. It's Matt saying, wrote his own last name, saying McCormick. Brody saying Penzies. Max saying McCormick. Giannis saying McCormick.
Couldn't come
Steve
up with
Steve saying
McCormick.
McCormick. Okay. There's some creative letters in there. The correct answer is McCormick.
Well, how do you spell it?
That was a bone for Matt.
I just couldn't. It just was kind of sloppy handwriting. That's all. I believe you. I believe you. The company was started in a Baltimore basement in 1889. As they've grown, so has their portfolio. They purchased Old Bay in 1990, Lowry's in 2008, and Frank's Red Hot in 2017. They recommend replacing ground spices every 2 to 3 years and whole spices every 3 to 4 years.
See how Brody wrote Penzies? Wasn't a very good guess. It's a great company.
I love how Steve focuses on people that he's beating that normally beat him.
Yeah.
It's a great company. It's a great online experience. Yep. Sausage making. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wrote that question before I knew
more
who
of a premium.
Were
it's a premium, more of a premium brand.
We've now had multiple episodes, Steve. You had your archery question where the answer was one of our players' last names, and we just had it happen again. What a coincidence. Question 8. The topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via Steve Corson. These different tools with the same name are used to remove bark from logs and check ice for thickness. The topic is gear. This is question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. These different tools with the same name are used to remove bark from logs and check ice for thickness. Steve and Brody are confident. Max, do you have this one right as well?
I think so, but I'm second-guessing myself.
Yeah, I got a real problem right now.
Oh, so really? Do I.
Okay. Our ducky guests have yet to come up with an answer. These different tools with the same name are used to remove bark from logs and check ice for thickness.
Did you know I used to peel logs?
I did not. Mm-hmm. So you know both of these tools.
Let's not cut the chit chat.
Yeah.
Is everybody
35 cents a foot? You got paid by linear foot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's like the exact opposite of getting paid by the hour. You had to.
There's no hours.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, yeah. When you're in, you just you just wrote down how many you peeled every week.
There you go.
You know, no one kept track of you.
Have you had harder physical work as a job than
no,
that?
No.
I've known a couple log peelers, and they say it'll crush you, man.
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer?
I moved on as quick as I could to something else.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying X. Brady saying Hugh. Matt without an answer. Brody saying Spud Bar. Max saying Spud Bar. Giannis saying Spud Bar. Steve saying Spud. The correct answer is Spud or Spud Bar. A spud that's used for removing bark is a blade with two handles at each end. They're commonly used by land managers who place logs on trails and woodworkers who want their lumber to dry. A spud bar that's used for checking ice thickness is a long piece of steel with a tapered end. They're often used by anglers who are fishing on questionable ice. Steve, what is your problem with this question?
A lot of log peelers use a draw knife. So I only had a problem if I got it wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Brody,
I'm cool. That's where I was going. Okay, but, cool. You know, duck guys probably use spud bars now and then to check some ice.
I hope
you?
So.
Yeah, I just didn't know the name of it. Spud bar
too, I avoid ice.
They call them, a lot of people call them ice chisels.
Ice chisel.
Yeah.
So do we have a spud bar in the in your guys' waterfowling kit?
We do have the pole for the motion decoy spinners. And it's got a little spike on it. And if things get questionable,
that's what goes out. You send them
out with the lucky duck, and they're out there poking around like, I don't know, boys.
We have two questions left, Phil.
If the weight of the lucky duck pushes it through, that's
well, because I'm the biggest guy, I like to start with the smallest guy, push him out first.
Phil, give us a leaderboard update.
Oops, sorry, guys. We got Phil with 2 points. Matt and Brady have 4 and 3, respectively, and are no longer in the running for the win. But we've got Brody and Max with 5 points apiece, and tied up in first place still are Giannis and Steve with 7.
Question.
It's time to get serious, Giannis.
Question 9. The topic is fishing. This man who jumped the shark went viral in 2021 when he tweeted out a picture of him holding a cutthroat trout. The topic is fishing. Steve and Brody are the only people to come up with an answer. Here's the question again. This man who jumped the shark went viral in 2021 when he tweeted out a picture of him holding a cutthroat trout.
What do you mean, jump
Can you
the
explain
shark?
Jump the shark?
Oh, my God.
All the information you need is right there. Not going to help you anymore.
Oh, got it.
Brody has declared that he got it. Steve looks tormented over here.
Nope. Oh,
Brody, do you have the correct answer?
Yeah.
This man who jumped the shark went viral in 2021 when he tweeted out a picture of him holding
Damn
a cutthroat trout. Steve thinks this is going to separate him from Giannis. Yanni has yet to pick up his whiteboard.
Who even tweets anymore?
This was in 2021.
Still.
That's back in the day.
Now he X'd. Just how news organizations still can't
put in parentheses.
They're still like formally known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone told me it's them. It's news organizations expressing disapproval. X, formerly known as Twitter.
Right.
Well, the fact that the tweets are called tweets, it makes it so hard for the brand to change. It's not like Facebook.
What are they now? X's?
Just I don't even know. I have no idea.
Not threads.
I'm just thinking of famous people.
Let's go.
Fly fish.
Yanni, are you going to come up with an answer? Here it is one more time. This man who jumped the shark went viral in 2021 when he tweeted out a picture of him holding a cutthroat trout.
Guy. Yeah, I'd
There's
prefer.
There's a hint for Yanni.
Yep. Well, I got a bigger. Well,
don't say it.
Better just hold it.
A lot of breadcrumbs out there.
Hold it in.
What do you got?
Let's just wrap it up. Let's go.
Okay. Yanni, you finish writing. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Phil saying Steve, Brady, and Matt without an answer. Brody saying Henry Winkler, crossed out the Fonz. Max saying Cole Wetzel. Giannis without an answer. Steve saying Arthur Fonzarelli.
Arthur Fonzarelli was who jumped the shark.
Saying Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler.
I don't think
was,
you give it to him.
He wrote down both. The
I got
correct
both.
Answer.
And Arthur Fonzarelli is the character who
the
jumped
Fonz
the shark.
Too.
Correct
and
answer.
Henry Winkler is the actor who held up the fish.
The correct answer.
I was being very thorough.
The Fonz.
The correct
We've
answer.
We've tried to get him on the show.
And what did he say?
Well, one time it was the.
Let me tell you this. The correct answer is Henry Winkler. Go ahead, Steve.
Try to get him on the show. We're still trying to get him on the show. One time we tried to get him on the show and it wound up being that he was in Paris filming. And I was like, what? He doesn't do movies. But then out came French Dispatch, which is a phenomenal movie. And lo and behold, there's Henry Winkler in it.
So he wasn't even lying.
Yeah, he wasn't even lying.
Slate Magazine actually wrote an article about Winkler's tweets and later had to issue a correction saying that the fish he was holding wasn't dead and that the Fonz was actually practicing catch and release. The first time Winkler ever fished was in the 1990s when his lawyer invited him on a trip to the Smith River in Montana. He never tried fly fishing before that because he's dyslexic and thought he wouldn't be coordinated enough to cast. Now he posts dozens of fishing pictures on his Twitter every year. Now, the jumping the shark reference, who would like to explain that to Max? Maybe Phil, the engineer. Maybe you could do it best.
After Happy Days had been on for a few years, they were kind of running out of storyline. So there was an episode where the Fonz went jet skiing. Like
water skiing.
And he performs a stunt where there's he sees a shark going through the water and then he jumps over it. So that when people use the term, that show jumped the shark, it means that it's probably out of steam and should not
like
be on the air
a desperate
anymore.
Attempt for attention.
Yeah.
You know, there's two things I remember about that show, too, is the character Pinky Tuscadero and then the Malachi brothers, who in racing had a maneuver called the Malachi Crunch.
Was the Fonz
like car racing?
No, they were into Crash Up Derby. Oh, and the yeah. Malachi Crunch would be they'd basically like T-bone your car from either side.
Yeah. Were the Fonz and Richie Cunningham, was that the same or two different shows? Or were they
same show. Arthur Fonzarelli rented like an apartment above the garage of
Richie Cunningham.
Of Richie Cunningham's family.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was two different shows.
And when he was wrong, he could. So I make a joke that no one gets. When he was wrong, he couldn't say it. So he tried to apologize. He'd be like, I was, couldn't say it.
Phil, we have one question left. Where does the leaderboard stand?
It's down to Steve and Giannis. Steve has 8 points. Giannis has 7.
Question 10.
I'll help you out, Giannis.
The topic
I didn't tie up with Giannis, Phil, on that one.
Yeah, you should have.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Phil, come on, dude.
Well,
hold on. Let me check my whiteboard.
Phil is trying to eat chow mein back there or something like that. What are we eating, Phil?
It's noodles that are, for all of you, they're just outside the door. I just got mine early.
I just want a sliver
of hope. How many times has Phil screwed this up?
No, I changed my whole thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, I've got Giannis with 7 and Brody with 6 still. I've been keeping.
Should we do a recap just to make sure?
Okay. Just got it right.
And I was, yeah.
And I marked it.
No, you were at 5. We were at.
Yeah, he was at 5. Yeah, now he's got 6. Giannis is at 7.
My bad.
We're good.
Good job, Phil.
Phil's right.
Just trying to keep. I gotta start marking it.
Question 10.
It's serious around here. Boy.
Question 10. The topic is hunting.
More ducks.
This popular pose for taxidermy deer, which comes in full and semi, is supposed to portray a buck looking for a doe.
What?
This happened the other week, too.
Brady and Matt know the answer. Here's the question again. This popular pose for taxidermy deer, which comes in full and semi, is supposed to portray a buck looking for a doe. Yanni is coming up with an answer. Yanni, do you think you have this one right?
I think.
To go to overtime, we would need Yanni to get this right and Steve to get this wrong. Yanni thinks he has it. Steve, how do you feel about your answer?
20-40 against. 20-80 against.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh.
This popular pose for taxidermy deer, which comes in full and semi, is supposed to portray a buck looking for a doe. Down to Giannis and Steve. Yanni, how many Yanni's taxidermy deer do you have?
Exactly 0.
Okay.
I'm going to get the ones out of my mom and dad's house someday.
I like it.
But I've been thinking more and more about getting one.
Okay. Maybe this year. Is everybody ready? Max?
Yeah, we're good.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying lip curl. Brady saying sneak. Matt saying sneak. Yeah. Brody saying flamin'. Max without an answer. Giannis saying sneak. Steve saying shoulder. The correct answer is sneak. Yanni got it right. We are going to overtime.
Nice work, Yanni.
How'd you guys know?
The 4 main poses for shoulder-mounted deer are full upright, semi-upright, full sneak, and semi-sneak. According to one taxidermist, semi-sneak is the most popular pose for taxidermy deer. The sneak positions are described as natural poses that bucks make during the rut when they're in pursuit of a doe. The upright mount is what taxidermists describe as the bar look. Steve, do you now, did your humunculus kind of know that it was sneak?
I would have never
known. No idea. Right. And Yanni, your humunculus must have snuck in there, told you that the answer was sneak. Is that the pose you think you'd go for?
For sure, the partial sneak. The
partial sneak. Now, our duck hunters over here, how many shoulder-mounted bucks do we have at home?
I've got 2.
2?
2 for me.
And what position are they in? Do you know?
I have a semi-sneak. And an upright, yeah.
I Brady? Have a full and a semi.
Sneak.
I have a Steve. Upright.
Okay, there we go. We're going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I think just cut it at if you ain't first, you're last, and then like go into other stuff that's funny. I never liked it.
Hey, Phil, f*** off, man.
To break the tie, we have a numerical question. Whoever is closest between Steve and Yanni will be declared the winner, but everyone in the room should play along, because if somebody hits it right on the nose, we will add an extra $100 to the donation at the end of the game. The tie-breaking topic is fishing. What is the max depth of Fort Peck Lake, which is the deepest reservoir on the Missouri River? Looking for the max depth of Fort Peck, which is the deepest reservoir on the Missouri River. Steve, tell me about your strategy. It looked like you maybe wrote down the first thing that came to mind.
I'm going to mess with it a little bit.
Oh, okay. You've come up with a starting point, and then you're going to adjust for it. Now, Yanni picked up his board as well. Yanni was also quick to answer, but now he's done some erasing, uncapped his marker. When's the last time you boys were on Fort Peck?
Whew. Probably right about 20 years, Spencer.
20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Steve, I imagine it's more recent than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't bother him. He's trying to figure out the max depth of Fort Peck, which is the deepest reservoir on the Missouri River.
Do you want inches or feet or...
We're looking for feet.
He's got it down to the inch.
Meters.
That's pretty good. I
know. Wants meters.
Fathoms.
Does everybody have an answer?
Brody, you got it? You fish there a lot. Annually, at least.
I do.
But you don't feel confident?
I know it's deep.
In fact, he's heard that it's the deepest.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dr. Phil saying 851. Brady saying 305. Matt saying 161. Brady saying 183. Max saying 392. And our two competitors left. We have Giannis saying 90. Steve saying, is that a 6 or a 5?
I had both. That's a...
A 6.
That's a 6.
And you feel like you won.
Steve
no,
saying...
No, I don't. I just know that we got a big spread.
They have a 510
foot difference. I'm betting on Giannis on this one.
I actually am too.
Because I know what the deepest lake in Montana is, and it ain't that deep.
One of you is within 130 feet of the correct answer.
Yeah.
The correct answer is 220 feet, making Yanni our winner.
Yeah, but that's so far away from that.
To be frank, both of you had pretty bad guesses. Yes. That was a
I was
220 feet deep.
You'd be deep dropping for black cod in that thing.
I thought there was like a little gotcha element. I don't know what the hell.
The deepest spot in Lake Oahe is 205 feet. The deepest spot in Lake Sacagawea is 180 feet. Deepest spot in Canyon Ferry is 160. Deepest spot in Lake Francis Case is 140. Yanni, you are our winner. Where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
It's going to go to Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management.
That's a new one. What do we like about them?
Well, they are, as of right now, they're the ones that are going to be the tip of the spear. They're at the forefront of fighting this trophy hunting ban that's going to be on the ballot next November in Colorado. And I've been speaking with, I believe their president, or at least their head chair there, Dan Gates, and he needs some money right now to fight the opposition campaign. So if you're looking to help out hunters all over the country, you should right now support these guys in Colorado, because if you don't think that your dog that chases birds for you to shoot is similar to hounds chasing cats up into trees, just wait until they make that analogy and that connection, and then they'll be after your dog that chases birds as well. So
$500
going
their
sense,
way.
Spencer?
We get it, Yanni. Good on you.
Well, yeah.
$500 going their way via Yanni.
Thanks.
And Meat Eater. Who is it one more time, Yanni?
It's a long name. I didn't know about their group here until recently. Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management.
And when you kill that big buck in Wisconsin this year, he's going to have to be in a sneak position in honor of making it to overtime.
Semi-sneak.
To get the W.
It's the one you want. Yeah.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thanks, Spencer.
Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in our capital, Helena, Montana. Each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Scott personally calls every customer who buys one of his rods. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MeatEater20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.